Welcome to the Thanksgiving Eve PFF forecast, as we would only do on this podcast. We will, of course, kick off with a Canadian to talk about his Thanksgiving football takes with Seth Galina. We'll break down each Thanksgiving Day game and the Sunday night showdown as well. We've got Judah Ford Gang to talk about his alternate spread and in-game strategy for this blessed week and weekend. And then, of course, we'll close it out with our lock of the week with Tej. Let's rock. So Seth, how do you celebrate U.S. Thanksgiving? What do you do? You cook a turkey? What's your plan?
I work my butt off for PFF, Pro Football Focus. And I don't stop working.
It really is like the perfect holiday for you though, right? Because like you get the three games, you watch football, but unlike Brad and I, you don't have to explain like, you know, what's happened in your life to all of the people in your life that you haven't seen in a whole year.
I already had to explain. It took me like quite a while to explain soccer offsides to my mom this past week. So yeah, I'm glad I got that out of the way already.
Do either of you guys have any bets on the World Cup?
Yeah, buddy. I wouldn't say a lot of money, but I got a very little amount of money on Canada to win the World Cup. So
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Cole's adjusted scores did say Canada won today, so you can hang your head on that, Seth. They did not actually win. You could ask Ben Brown, though. I don't have any bets going forward, but ask Ben Brown. I've given him two winners already this tournament. I'll let you know if I have another, you know, in store.
Okay. I will bet on every single USA game, just like every other degenerate in this country. I am scared. I will admit, if you're listening to this after the US has played England, let it be known that I'm terrified that we're going to get or you know what's kicked in. So let's talk Thanksgiving Day football, though, before we get ahead of ourselves. We've got three games: Buffalo, Detroit, New York Giants, and Dallas, and then the Patriots in Minnesota to play the Vikings. We're gonna do a little bit of speed round and go through each of the games. We'll spend a little bit of time on the first two, a little bit longer on the nightcap with Patriots Vikings, and then of course Sunday night with the Packers and the Eagles. Of course, Seth prepares Chris and the Sunday night crew for all of their games, Kirk and Al as well, for the Thursday night games. This Thursday night game is not an Amazon. This is actually an NBC game. Tirico and Dungy will be calling this one. So let's start with Buffalo, Detroit. Buffalo, a 9.5-point favorite, total 54.5. Of course, Buffalo played in Detroit already last week, then went back to Buffalo on a short week and is coming back to Detroit. So Seth, as we always started off, what is the big scheme matchup or mismatch that you see in this one?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of the scheme thing I like is, I guess it's not really a scheme. It is a matchup thing. The Bills interior offensive line versus the Detroit Lions interior defensive line. We saw last week against the Browns, the Bills took them a little bit of time, but like, they just mashed them on the inside. I mean, the holes were absolutely very, very large. Very, very large holes. Mm. So I think that, and this is a team that doesn't run the ball a lot. It doesn't run the ball very well generally. But what a great game they had against the Browns. And I'm thinking, well, I think they could just do this again against a relatively porous interior. And even the edge guys of the Lions. But like Aleem McNeil, I was looking this up. He has like 236 run defense snaps, which is like fifth most, and he has zero tackles for loss, which is like no one even come close to that little number. So like, think that could be a big game. And once they start doing that, it's tough to stop the Bills because we already know they're going to throw the football, right? So I think that to me is a big matchup, big mismatch is the interior there and the Bills run game.
Brad, what do you think about this one? Where are you leaning?
Yeah, so we talked on Sunday, we'd like the Lions a little bit more because of the emotional standpoint than maybe some of the on-the-field stuff. I think Jeffrey Okuda being out for the Lions. Also, both starting guards did not practice today, and Frank Ragnow was limited. So the other side, the interior, obviously, you know, Jordan Phillips, DaQuan Jones, Ed Oliver, those guys. I did have a question for you, though. A quick one for you, Seth. So the last 5 weeks, Bills are 19th in EPA per play allowed. So look at the other side of the ball. Is this just because of Rousseau injury, Edmonds injury, or is there more going on with this defense?
I think it's a combination, like the two injuries talked about, not having the two safeties back there. We actually looked this up recently. They've allowed, I think, almost as many 20 plus yard receptions this season as they did in as all of last season, basically. And like, they've been so good at just keeping offenses in front of them for the past 4 years. You take off, you don't have that pair anymore, the Poyer and Hyde pair anymore. And it's tough for them. So they got to figure out, I think Hamlin is the other safety that plays there now. They got to figure that out. Not having Trey White obviously doesn't help. And who knows? It seems like a day-to-day, a minute-by-minute thing with him, whether he's ever going to play this year or when he will play this year. So I think there is a little bit of concern there. But yeah, if you get like Edmonds and Rousseau are having really good seasons, so getting them back will go a long way to helping them, I think.
I am. I was on the Lions +9.5. I believe that was what it opened at. Actually, it looks like it opened at 10 on Sunday night. Now, a lot of injuries for the Lions. So right now, I already have some money down on the Lions. I'm not hedging that out. I'm not some loser here. But the bet that I like most is kind of playing off what Seth said. I think that this sets up really nicely for Josh Allen to have a bounce back game. They have not played well offensively, really, for like the last half of the season almost. And no Jeffrey Okuda, as you mentioned. I think they're gonna, they're gonna have to try and, I guess, stop the run potentially if Buffalo wants to run it. But I'm more just thinking Josh Allen sits in a clean pocket and dices them up. So over 2.5 passing touchdowns, you can get this at +146 right now. And I absolutely love that. So I will probably play that at, maybe two units. I have a chance to obviously get both the Lions cover and Allen over 2.5. But if the Browns do blow them out, I still have a chance, obviously, to win with Allen. Seth, what about you? Where are you going here?
So I already played Allen over 2.5. Really My good man. Number there. I think, you look at recently with the red zone interceptions, like that probably cleans up, that regresses back, and then he's throwing those touchdowns instead of interceptions in the red zone and the end zone. The other one I'm really interested in, and I just think the number is really high, but the Stephon Diggs over 7.5 catches. When you look at the tape, and so he gets upset, I think in the first half, and he goes to talk to Coach McDermott, and he's upset, and he's not getting the ball. He's kind of open on those plays. Like he's kind of open the whole game, and Josh didn't find him. I feel like this is a recipe for let's get the ball in his hands as early as possible. So that 7.5, it's pretty good value if you get over 7.5. So that's going to be a game time decision for me, but I'm looking at it very closely.
Brad, what are you doing?
So we took the Lions. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown, also a very high number. It's 7.5 receptions as well, but he's been cruising since he came back from injury. I think they're going to throw to him all day long. Teron Johnson's been okay in the slot. He is a good player, but it hasn't been phenomenal this year. And yeah, the game script, they're going to be down probably most of the game. I think they're going to feed ARSB.
ARSB. All right. NYG. Playing the Dallas Cowboys. It seems like the wheels kind of came off of the Giants and the Jets last week. The Giants got beat down at home against the Lions 31-18 as a 3-point favorite last week. And so now in Dallas, they are a 10-point underdog. It seems like only a few weeks ago that people were just ranting and raving about the Giants. Like I forget who it is. Is it Pro Football Talk that literally just reacts to whoever had an impressive win the last week and then does their power rankings accordingly. Like Giants were like a top five team. That's why those things are so hilarious. But anyways, the Cowboys, both these teams, 7-3 against the spread as well. This opened Dallas -7 and is now all the way out to Dallas -10. Before I get to you, Seth, with what you see as kind of the really interesting scheme matchup here, Brad, what are there a lot of injuries here? What's kind of the big reason for the line movement that you've seen or that you've heard?
So Wandell Robinson, who had 100 yards in that game, is out for the year. Adoree Jackson, their best corner by a mile, is out for 4 to 6 weeks, maybe the full year. And then four offensive linemen that have started games for them this season are all not playing in this game. And Andrew Thomas was limited. They're obviously star left tackle. So I think it's just people thinking the Dallas Cowboys defensive line is going to just demolish this offensive line.
Yeah, that makes sense. So with that said, Seth, what are you keying in on in this one?
Yeah, I mean, you have to piggyback off the offensive line, defensive line matchup there at the edges. Andrew Thomas, really good season. Great season, actually. Evan Neal, the rookie, not as great a season. Hopefully, you know, he'll probably figure it out as his career goes on. Whoever matches up against him is it could be rough. You know, whether it's Parsons or Lawrence or whoever coming off the edge, that is by far the mismatch. And like you said, I mean, if I don't even know if he's 100%. I see it here. Giants, Evan Neal hoping to play versus Cowboys. So if he doesn't play, that's even worse. So yeah. Like I said, Andrew Thomas, great season. The other side, whoever it may be, not so great. So that's the mismatch.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Brad, I guess with that in mind, is there a particular angle that you like here? Again, on Sunday night, we talked about this. I think it was 9.5 when we talked about it. And I liked the Giants there. Now, I didn't see all of the injuries. We did talk about Adoree Jackson. But now in light of all of this, what is your bet? What are the bets you're placing here?
Yeah, so a prop I like in this one is Dalton Schultz under 3.5 receptions. It's partly just a game script play. I mean, I really just don't think the Cowboys are going to throw the ball that much. I think we'll see CeeDee Lamb go over his receiving yards, receptions, all that stuff against the Giants. You know, secondary that is very, very porous. Their slot corner in particular, Darnay Holmes, I said on the podcast Sunday, was 105th out of 115 slot corners for us this year in PFF grade and coverage grade. So I just think they're going to get up early. I don't think they'll be feeding, you know, targets to tertiary receiving options late in the game. So like the under for 3.5 receptions for Dalton Schultz.
Look, I'm Seth? On the same wavelength, but with Tony Pollard. I think it's 2.5
receptions.
2.5 receptions. And I think for me, it's partly this, what you're saying, Brad, but also partly, you know, you're going to get a lot of man coverage from the Giants. They're like a super heavy man coverage team. Wake Martindale coming over from the Ravens. We know they played man coverage for 10 years there. They still play a little bit. But I think that man coverage without good secondary players means Dak is going to his first read a lot. Mm-hmm. And even though we saw the touchdown on the wheel route, basically the fake option route, to Tony Pollard against the Vikings last week. Yes, that is a first read. Generally, running backs are not first reads. Obviously, they could scheme it up. I get that. But generally not first reads. So I think there's good value in Tony Pollard under 2.5.
I think this might be, we talked about this on Sunday. If you are not betting every single one of these games in multiple ways, you're just missing out. Okay. And CeeDee Lamb, you mentioned one key factor, Brad, which is Darnay Holmes. There are only 12 cornerbacks in the NFL that have a worse grade than Darnay Holmes, and there's 120 of them that we've graded. So that's not very good. CeeDee Lamb, 12th in PFF grade. He continues to be good. But here's the other thing. Guess who's been rumored to be coming to Dallas? No one's talking about CeeDee Lamb. The only receiver people are talking about with the Dallas Cowboys is Odell Beckham Jr. Now, CeeDee Lamb is a man of pride. I don't know if anyone remembers when he was drafted, that little clip of him pulling the phone out of his, I guess, then girlfriend's hands. This man does not, he wants to put his name on the headlines here and remind everyone who's wide receiver one in Dallas. So 5.5 receptions, over 5.5 receptions. That's my favorite one. 75.5 receiving yards. I'm more on the receptions. I think anytime touchdown, I don't know what those odds are, but I might play that as well. But I love over 5.5 receptions for CeeDee Lamb. Okay. Thursday night, tomorrow night, if you're listening to this on the recording this on Wednesday evening, the Patriots and the Vikings. This has moved around a little bit, total of 42. And the spread has moved around between 2.5 and 3. I'm seeing 2.5 right now. Vikings favored by only 2.5. That's coming off of being a slight underdog at home to the Dallas Cowboys, who just beat the brakes off of them, embarrassed them 40-3. Like, everyone's talking about how the Jets only scored 3 points. The Vikings, supposedly the best team or one of the best teams in the NFC, only scored 3 points. They now have a negative point differential despite being 8-2. So I guess, Seth, is there a reason to believe schematically there's some matchup that was the case with the Cowboys that either is not the case with the Patriots, and so you expect to bounce back, or vice versa? There is that still that big issue with the Vikings, and we might see them struggle again.
I could see them struggling again because of the injuries that they're gonna have at tackle. Mm-hmm. You know, Christian Darrisaw was having a really good season. He's not playing. Brendel, the guy they brought in, is just like, you know, below replacement level tackle. You have Matthew Judon, who's getting to the quarterback at a high rate. Even a guy like Dietrich Weiss, when he plays off the edge, is a really good pass rusher, or is a nice pass rusher. So it would still scare me a little bit. The thing that we just don't know, I think, is how they're going to play Justin Jefferson. You know, mm-hmm. we know that the Patriots are this like a heavy man coverage team, but they've always had ideas in how to play top receivers. Now, they've had Tyreek Hill. I think they've had Amon-Ross St. Brown. But really, they haven't had, like, the top guys. They had Amari Cooper. So I'm just really interested. And I think Tyreek Hill, you know, a top three receiver, Justin Jefferson, a top three receiver, but two completely different in terms of play styles. So it's really interesting to see how they're going to play it. Generally, Jonathan Jones has lined up against that player. So he lined up against Tyreek Hill. He probably would have lined up against Amari Cooper. He lined up against Amon-Ra St. Brown a few snaps. So, like, generally, that's the guy that they want. And they don't give a lot of help there. And Jonathan Jones has played outstanding this season. And especially the last, I think, since week 7, I think he's only allowed 2 catches. So, like, he's been outstanding. But is that enough? Is this one player enough to deal with Justin Jefferson? Like, do they double him? Do they do that type of thing? And I think that's really, I probably double him and I play like Jonathan Jones on Adam Thielen, and you stop, and then you, you know, load the box, stop the run, that type of thing. I think if you play one-on-one, I still like Jonathan Jones, good player and having a great season. Justin Jefferson's like that good. So mm-hmm. I think that it's interesting. You do have a lot of the similarities here between the Cowboys playing a lot of man coverage, mm-hmm. the Patriots not playing a lot of man coverage, Patriots probably being able to get after the quarterback just like the Cowboys did. Mm-hmm. So there is potential for this. I just think the issue is they will have a lot more chances in a close game because that Patriots offense will not move the football very much. So that's kind of the issue. Now you're keeping it close. Kirk Cousins isn't having to force anything. You can, you know, you don't want to punt the football, but they will anyways. But mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the big difference, is like the other side of the, where the mismatch is just the Patriots offense. It's just, it's horrifying right now.
I mean, I think the thing about Bill Belichick is that he can take away a top target. I mentioned this going into the second Jets game. Garrett Wilson had 6 catches for 115 yards. The first time they played, he had 2 catches for 12 yards this past weekend. I mean, Bill Belichick's not going to let you feed your number one target all day long. Mm-hmm. So pivoting off that a little bit, you kind of touched on it. But look, on paper, this Patriots defense isn't like loaded with talent. They have some good players. They have no one making even $15 million a year. Bunch of rookies, Jack Jones, outside corner, a top 2 graded cornerback for us, is a 4th-round rookie. I mean, this is an open-ended question, but maybe focus on a couple things. But Seth, just like, how is Bill's defense the number one in EPA per play on the season? Like, how does he do it? It's crazy.
I think it's so funny, and I hate to kind of say it like this, but like, there's a lot of hard-nosed football players on this defense. There's a lot of guys mm-hmm. who are unafraid to get dirty and to make big plays and play above their body weight, I would say. And three guys I'll say that come to mind are Adrian Phillips, 3 safeties, 3 of the 4 safeties, Adrian Phillips, Kyle Duggar, and Jabril Peppers, who like put their body on the line a lot. And they play in the box too, because they have a guy, you know, Juwan Bentley, another guy who's not afraid to get to hit people. Dietrich Wise is a big body player who likes getting dirty. So I think they have, you get that, you get a box that you is very tough to run on. Love what they do with their 3-4 fronts. Very, a little different than most other teams running 3-4 right now. And then it's like, okay, well, we get you into third down, and then what do? We bring more safeties on the field. We bring more cornerbacks on the field, and we play a lot of man coverage. And I think it's like, I do wonder why more teams don't do this, but it's like, hey, I have a guy for this type of receiver and I'm going to put it on him. I have a guy for this type of player. I'm going to put him. I talked about Jonathan Jones. He's going to follow the number one receiver. You know, they trust him. He follows the receiver. Kyle Duggar plays on the receiving tight end. Like, that's it. Devin McCourty is the deep free player. Adrian Phillips is the lurking safety in the hole. Like, they have very specific roles, and you're not afraid. He's not afraid to, again, put these body types on the field, especially on third down. They play, I think, the third highest rate of dime and on third down. Just in general, they play a super high rate of dime. So I think just getting the matchups, stopping the run, and then getting the matchups in the passing game is really how they do it every year.
Let's get some bets in here. I will start, and I'm going to, as I usually do, piggyback off of Seth's guidance from a scheme perspective, because it's been very profitable. Initially liked where the Vikings were at, just fading the Patriots' abomination of an offense. I'm worried about the left tackle, certainly, in Brandle, who you mentioned. Worried about what Bill Belichick is going to do. I almost feel like we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, Bill Belichick, his like superpower is when he knows his offense sucks and it's like, it's all on me. Like, I need to have an evil plan or else we're not going to have a chance. And that would worry me when it comes to Kirk Cousins throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson. That said, I love Kirk Cousins scampering with the ball over 2.5 rushing yards, minus 117. That is where I'm going with this one. Back to a good and dear friend in Kirk Cousins running the football. I think if I had to play one side of this, if it's 2.5, I will take the Vikings. If it's a 3, like, that's tough. I would probably just look to play some props there, but that's kind of where I'm at. Brad, what about you?
Yep. So another under receptions prop. I know it's not sexy, but as we talked about Ben Brown, they are cashing it at a crazy clip. Okay. So the Vikings are going to be, it looks like, without Caleb Evans, without Andrew Booth at corner. They're already missing some outside corners. As bad as Mac Jones has been, as kind of middling as their outside receivers have been, I think they're going to try to target them this game and try to get the ball to them. Devontae Parker might not play, but could play. All that said, Ramondre Stevenson under 3.5 receptions. I think it'll be a close game, so you're not going to see a bunch of kind of like late game checkdowns and all those things. So I'm going to Ramondre Stevenson under 3.5 receptions.
Look at you. Seth, what about yourself?
All right. We're going wild for this one.
Oof.
Harrison Smith over 0.5 interceptions.
Hmm.
So Mac Jones has thrown the most interceptions over the middle of the field since the beginning of last season, or he's top 3 or something like that. And the way the Vikings play defense right now is they will use Harrison Smith as their kind of lurking robber, poach safety, whatever words you want to use for it. So that's my, ooh, they're going to catch him. They're going to get him with one. He's going to think Harrison Smith is not there. He's going to throw one over the middle. Harrison Smith, interception.
Okay. What odds are you getting on that?
This is Canadian. I live in Canada. It's 5.5.
Sorry, 5.5? Yeah. European odds. So 5.5 to 1, that's plus 550. Am I doing that correctly?
450.
Plus 450, that's right, because you subtract one. Yeah. So 5.5 to 1 odds. That is, that's great. That's fantastic. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Let's, that's a first, by the way, I think, for the forecast, giving out a defensive player prop, which just gets me excited about all the potential that there is to bet on football games. Sunday night, the Packers and the Eagles. This game, a couple weeks ago, probably would have been like a 10-point spread. It is 6.5. Eagles favored, of course. 46.5 is the total. And I think the reason for that is the Eagles have not exactly been dominant over the past couple of games. They won by 1 against Indy. They lost Monday night to the Washington Commanders. They did not cover against the Houston Texans on the road 3 weeks ago. So I guess the question that I'll ask you, Seth, is there something that is the reason for this Eagles maybe coming back to earth? And is that truly who they are? Or is there something that's been, either that they're changing or they've been forced to change in the way that they are scheming things up offensively, or perhaps injury-wise, that you think is causing this bit of a drought?
Yeah, I think when you look at the last two games, you hate to do this, but you kind of want to, just talk about the Washington game in terms of turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's running in for a touchdown that they probably win the game, yep. And he gets hit from behind. He fumbles. You have the face mask not called, leads to a fumble. So I really think the turnovers were really the reason why we're talking about them in a different light. Now, the next game against Indianapolis, I think you've talked about the injuries. They tried to get the ball into AJ Brown's hands in the Colts game, which they couldn't really do in the Washington game. I certainly know a lot of fantasy owners who were very upset that Monday night mm-hmm. that he wasn't getting those targets. They tried to get him in, and then, you know, a little bit of an ankle injury, not running at 100%. So that was tough. Dallas Goedert, man, really good player, really versatile player. I mean, he's a guy who they throw bubble screens to. Like, there's no other tight ends in the league that do this. So now all of a sudden you're having to bring in, like, playing Jack Stoll a little bit more. He's a blocker. You know, he doesn't give you that versatility that that Goedert has. Zach Pascal, who I really like as a receiver, but he's a blocking receiver. So you lose that aspect, right? So no matter who you bring in, whether it's, you know, a big body receiver or a tight end, you're losing an aspect from that. And then, you know, the injury to AJ Brown. So I think those aspects, you know, the turnovers, fluke turnovers of both fumbles, and then the injuries in the week after, I think are the reason why they've looked not as good as they did, I guess I'll say. And I also say, look, the issue is always going to be Hurts. Like, do they have a guy who they trust? Do they have a guy who they can drop back a whole bunch of times and have them win a football game when the surrounding talent isn't perfect like it has been? You know, I don't think anyone's ready to say yes yet.
So flipping the other side of the ball, the Eagles defense still dead last in EPA per rush allowed. Also, Donavante Maddox. They have, a great safety duo in Marcus Epps and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, some good linebackers as well, but susceptible over the middle. I was just looking at target or receptions over expectation for the defense. They've been kind of soft for the middle, both through the air and on the ground. And that's kind of where Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay can make their money. You know, do you see that as a potential advantage and think Green Bay can attack their weaknesses in, you know, really well?
I think Rodgers is not trusting that area of the field right now. And that's the concern. So, you know, we talked about it. The Packers, baby, they're back. They killed the Cowboys. They're back. Cowboys have a great defense. However, the Cowboys play a very unique style of defense. They're going to show you that they're playing cover one, and then they're going to play cover one. So, like, you can get the matchups. And, like, you know, Christian Watson, you know, just a one-on-one go ball down the sideline for his first touchdown out of three that game. Well, the safety bit up. There's no other players down the field. Like, that's it. It's over. So they're not back. We saw it then on the Thursday night a week ago. You're playing against a team that's going to run more zone, run more quarters, run more stuff like that, and they just didn't have anything. Now, the difference going into this game, now the Eagles play a lot of quarters, play a lot of zone, not a lot of man. If they could get Aaron Jones maybe going a little more, AJ Dillon, they need to get him going if they're going to give him all those touches. So that would be the biggest difference, but I don't know if the passing game per se is back yet. Or will be back ever this season. Because Rodgers, like I said, doesn't trust the middle of the field. So even though they're susceptible there, the Eagles defense, like, he's not throwing there right now. So that to me is the problem.
The Packers EPA per pass play is negative. It is lower than the Eagles EPA per run play. That's not a recipe for success. Real quick here before we move on to picks. Eagles did not have Dallas Goedert last week. Is he? He's on IR. He's not playing in this game. Neither is Avante Maddox. You mentioned him. I guess how big of a in watching that film, Seth? Did you look at that and go, "Oh man, without Goedert, they're kind of lost"? Or is it just a matter of them, you know, adjusting a little bit? The Colts, you know, are very good at defending receivers. Like, is that something that? Are you worried about the Eagles' offense because of, you know, not having Dallas Goedert? And could the Eagles with Alexander and Douglas, both, you know, top 35 graded corners, like, are they a good matchup for Brown and Smith?
Yeah, I think that is that's I think what worries me is for the first, you know, whatever, 10 games of the season, you had whether it was AJ Brown 1 week or Devonta Smith the other week going off on the outside. And they just couldn't get anything going down, especially down the field. Like, when teams were giving them these one high looks, they were just saying, okay, well, we have a better player than you do on either side of the field with Smith and Brown. And I think it was only three targets by Jalen Hurts beyond 20 yards against the Colts. Like, that's not enough. They couldn't hit these like one-on-one balls on the sideline that they love, the slants and all that stuff. So I think I really think they'll do their best, like from a game plan perspective, to get those balls up in the air. Because they'll trust those guys more than even against Jair Alexander and whoever ends up playing on the outside. I guess Rasul Douglas has kind of taken over that spot with the Stokes injury. So I think they'll trust them, and I think they should probably use it a little more, just given that those are now very clearly the two best players that they have on offense.
All right, it is picks time. I think this is one that I'm having the biggest challenge with. Brad, we'll start with you.
So it's funny because everything we just discussed probably goes against this, but I'm gonna stick with it. I still do see, it is two good outside corners for both teams, but, and you mentioned Rodgers struggling to target over the middle of the field, but I like the over in this game. I think 46.5 is a little bit short. I think both teams can move the ball, and the offensive lines are better than both respective defensive lines. So, yeah, I like the over 46.5 in prime time. Rodgers will show up. He'll do enough, and then I think Philly will score in a handful of times.
Seth, what about you?
Yeah, I think the over at 46.5 just feels right to go over that. That's kind of where I am. And then I also would probably, if I was betting a side, which I'm not super into, I probably lean towards Packers +6.5. I think they lose, but I do think it's not by less than a touchdown.
Yeah, I like Packers 6.5 kind of for the opposite reason of what you guys just talked about with the over. Like, I am a little worried about each offense, to be perfectly honest. And, I think that this game is by both teams, maybe a little more run heavy than we would expect. I know the Eagles aren't exactly, with Hurts there, like, it's not like they have a running back that's dominating things, but Hurts himself is a tremendous runner of the football. I also will play Aaron Jones player props. The matchup there with the Eagles, porous run defense. And let's be clear, Aaron Jones is like the only skilled position player on the Packers who really is playing well. I mean, Christian Watson has his moments, but like Aaron Jones is actually out here dominating, has a PFF grade to match of over 90, I want to say. Yeah, no, sorry, 87.1. And is fourth in PFF war at his position. So I know he's questionable, but I think he does play. And that's where I'm going. Seth, it is always an absolute pleasure to have you on here. We hope that you enjoy your Thanksgiving.
I will.
Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the football. Real quick to get you out of here, do you have some pet peeve that you can say goodbye to us with?
No, I'm thankful today. Thankful for getting to watch a lot of football and soccer tomorrow.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think the U.S. has a chance?
But I don't care about the U.S. enough. I don't ask me, but come on now.
All right, that's Seth Galina. You can follow him at PFF_Seth. And he hates the U.S. All right, see you, Seth.
See you, guys.
All right, we now bring in our dear friend, Judah Forking. Judah Forking last week hit a really wonderful same-game parlay. He has right now on the PFF app an awesome piece of content that you can go check out where he has same-game parlays. I want to say, Judah, is it for every single Thanksgiving Day game tomorrow? It's something truly to be thankful for. How was your week last week? We didn't get a chance to talk to you, but we read your words and things kind of came through for us. So did you have a nice Sunday?
I did. The Chiefs money line, as we said, started with the Chargers, then put the life savings on the Chiefs and didn't have a doubt.
I didn't even start with the Chargers. I just put the life savings down on the Chiefs when they went down. I was looking forward to this conversation as I was putting all those dollars down. So let's get right into it. By the way, Judah, every single week writes great content that you can find on the PFF app and pff.com on alt lines that he likes, as well as a strategy for in-play betting. If you have not bet during a Sunday, it's a lot. Like, there's a lot going on. So going into it with a strategy where you can just sort of like set an alarm for, does this thing happen? It's almost like saying, like, if this stock goes here, I want to buy it. You can actually like find some joy in in-game betting. So Judah, where are you going this week? Let's start with an alt line that you like.
Okay. I'm going to go with Cincinnati -5.5 for now. I'm actually going to parlay that, I think, once the props open. with basically Joe Burrow's over passing yards, which gets into kind of the central thesis here. Okay, fundamentally speaking, I want to talk about like offensive EPA. The Bengals are fourth. By my numbers, they're third. Tennessee is 21st, right? Tennessee's basically played two good teams all season. The Bills, where they got shellacked, and then that weird the Chiefs game on Sunday night. But really, I think the matchup here is, I posted a graph today, actually, about how teams are faring in obvious passing situations. Mahomes breaks the axes there. But if you look closely, Joe Burrow is also absolutely tearing it up. He's got a 0.3 EPA and a 50% success rate, which over the course of a season would basically be an MVP-type year. Now, why is that so important? Tennessee has a terrific run defense. They're number one in rush EPA. They're fourth in yards per carry. Whatever efficiency metric you want to use, they're terrific in run defense. The Bengals have no issue passing the ball. They're 7% over expected, third in the NFL. And when they do pass, they're really good. Joe Burrow's basically playing at an MVP level in obvious passing situations. I don't think the Tennessee defense is equipped to stop that. Yes, maybe there's some interior pressure fears, or at least if that's lingering in the minds of people from the playoff game last year, I think like Alex Kappa and Ted Karras have done a pretty good job in pass blocking this year. Also, something that makes sense is just like the Bengals had a lot of turnover on the offensive line. They're probably going to get better as the season goes along and they develop some chemistry. So I'm a little less concerned about that. But if you throw in like a -5.5, probably get Joe Burrow's prop at like 270. If you want to push it to 300, we'll probably get like +450, something like that. That's a spot I really like.
Okay, now moving in. And by the way, the fraudulent Titans are 8-2 against the spread, and they're +2.5 in this game at home. And we talked about this on Sunday a little bit. Like this spot as a potential teaser leg, but you're kind of going the other way and saying, look, like they're already an underdog at home, despite the fact that all these things have happened. Like this is a spot where they get actually exposed. And this one, of course, Jamar Chase will be back in this game per Joe Burrow. Brad, is this changing your feeling on our Titans teaser leg?
Really? I think, you know, since he's winning by a touchdown, we, of course, would still be safe. It is interesting to see the spread now move from 1.5 to 2.5. Obviously, still not at 3, but I don't know. I'm a little worried about that interior pressure. It gives me some legitimate concerns, and we might see Samaje Perine run for, you know, 12 carries for 19 yards, whatever, you know, Zach Taylor's trying to do. So, but I definitely understand the logic, no question about it.
That is a strategy. That's something truly to be thankful for. That would be a lovely middle, the teaser and the alt spread. All right, Judah, in game betting this week, what I hope that you have some kind of angle for me for Thanksgiving. But if you don't, it's okay. I still love you.
I wouldn't let you down.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going with Giants, Dallas. Basically, the central thesis here, the Giants before last week basically played the same game script every single game, but just like one score, close game. They're able to run the ball. I think last week kind of showed actually what's to come, which is a team that really can't run the ball, especially when their offensive line is hurt. They might be missing 5 starters. And, you know, Daniel Jones actually passed the ball pretty well. Again, actually the same chart I just referenced. Daniel Jones has done a pretty good job in obvious passing situations. I think he will be able to at least move the ball somewhat. Now, the key is the props. Okay. Right now, Daniel Jones is being priced for his basically season-long averages, which is assuming this sort of neutral, slow game script. His passing prop is at like 200 right now. If he's forced to throw the ball 45 times, and we'll be able to tell pretty quickly if the Cowboys are jumping out to a lead, he's probably going to get there on volume alone. We also know who he's throwing to at this point. Wandale Robinson's out. The targets are going to go to Darius Slayton. His passing prop also priced for the season-long averages. I want to go over on both of those things. And then the other part is the sack props, live sack props, especially with the hurt offensive line. We all know the Cowboys pass rush. They're number one in pressure. They're number one in sacks. I would just keep hammering Micah Parsons, Darnce Armstrong, if they, you know, allow a Lawrence prop too. I'll be all over those three. Just assuming the market's basically saying the Giants are not going to pass the ball, but if they find themselves in a game script where they're going to pass the ball against this Cowboys team, bet the overs, bet the sack props.
Yeah, I like, and Daniel Jones, guy who will be without Wandale Robinson, of course, one of his top targets in this game. And it's kind of, he likes to run a little bit. And I don't know, Daniel Jones, good athlete. He is not Micah Parsons. So Let's be very, very clear there. Okay, so that's one on Thanksgiving. What about for Sunday?
Okay, we're going to go Sunday Night Football.
Yes.
We've got the Packers and Eagles. Okay, similar type of analysis, actually. The Eagles, for the first, whatever it is, 9-10 weeks of the season, they had a particular game script. They get ahead, usually in the second quarter. They play from a lead, and that's where they're at their best. When they're trailing, though, the team's actually been struggling. They're like 7th in EPA when trailing. Thing is that they only played like 200 plays when trailing. Granted, it's a little bit of a small sample size, but that's the second best in the league. They're never trailing. What happens if they are trailing? Especially the model to beat the Eagles has been shown somewhat by the Texans and then by the Commanders and Colts last week, which is slow the game down and run the ball well, right? The Eagles have the fourth worst rush defense by EPA. This is exactly what the Packers want to do. They play at the slowest pace in the league. They have a top 10 run game. They're fourth in success rate, which I think is the key stat here, because if you're going to go chunk by chunk, 5 yard gain by 5 yard gain, you want to be successful. So the Packers can kind of succeed in that way. Conversely, if the Eagles jump out to the lead, this is exactly where they're at their best. They can, you know, let the run game go. Hurts can run. I would extend Eagles leads if, right, go all, you know, 17 and a half if they're up by 10. And conversely, if the Packers can kind of execute this game plan, slowing it down, running the ball, the game under is very attractive, and even maybe sprinkling some on the Green Bay money line too.
Yeah, like that quite a bit. Brad, do you have anything? Do you have any other strategies that you're thinking about that you'd like to vet with the master here?
Well, first and foremost, I'm no longer placing a bet on the over. I can tell you that much to start. So that's why we talk, right? That's why we get Good. Together We're and have these conversations. That's what it's all about. So yes, I was thinking about one idea. We've talked a lot about Thursday games. We'll stick there with the Minnesota versus New England game. Minnesota's also been phenomenal on scripted plays. They've scored, I want to say, 7 out of the 10 games I think they've scored on their first drive. I think that's touchdowns too. I could be making that up, but it's good, whatever the actual numbers are. But I was wondering if you saw any value in, I like the under in that game, the 42.5. Potentially Vikings do get one good drive on the scripteds, and then Darisaw being hurt comes into play, and some of the other fundamental issues of this Minnesota Vikings offense come into play, and maybe taking a live under as opposed to betting the original under.
Yeah, I love that. I think for all the reasons you outlined, and one thing I'll highlight is that, like, the best thing for unders are sacks. Those are absolute drive killers. And like we've seen the past 2 weeks, what's happened with Darisaw hurt and the offensive line, especially going up against a pretty dominant Patriots pass rush. I really love that.
Nothing better than when Judah loves it.
You know, the only thing I'll say that there's a lot of good football this week, particularly I think some exciting stuff on Thanksgiving. But we don't have a situation now. Maybe it'll come through for us. But the Chiefs are 15.5 point favorites. I'm not sure we will have an opportunity to bet on the Chiefs down against Bryce Perkins and the LA Rams. It has really come full circle for the LA Rams. The F them pick strategy of Les Snead and Sean McVay is really showing itself here. This team is about as disgusting an offensive unit as you will find. It's honestly surprising to me that this line is not out past 17, because I just, my goodness, the Rams are bad. I think that's just in deference to Sean McVay. We shall see. I will say, games that I'm kind of interested in, Kyler back for Arizona. The Chargers are a 3-point favorite in Arizona. If they somehow get out to a little bit of a lead there and score first, that would be a play on the Cardinals with Kyler potentially back at full strength. That was the only one I was looking at. Judah, real quick before we get you out of here, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think like it's a little hard betting the Chargers. I think I've kind of learned that the hard way. You just have no idea what's going to happen in that game. But at the same time, you want to, as a general rule, kind of bet on the elite quarterbacks, especially if they're down.
Brandon Staley right now, I feel like, is one of those poker players at a table who's on tilt. And as much as I think Kirk Kingsbury is kind of out to lunch in a lot of situations, I don't think he's ever on tilt, because he's in his own zone. And plus all this negative press about the Cardinals and Kyler, and they got stomped by the Niners. I think they're going to play this one down to the wire. So Judah, we appreciate you at Throw the Damn Ball on Twitter. You can find him during games as well, live trading the games. Fantastic watch if you're trying to figure out how to live bet and kind of get inside the mind of someone who does it every single football day. Judah, have a wonderful Thanksgiving day of football, and we will talk to you next week.
You too.
All right, we're going to get Tej in here to do the lock of the week for this week. Before we do, a reminder, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. This is where you can go tomorrow on Thursday, if you're listening to this, on Saturday, on Sunday, heck, for the USA game on Friday, and take advantage of all the awesome promos that they have. If you use promo code PFF when you sign up, bet just $5 on any team to win, and then get $150 in free bets. So do that for one of the games with a big spread tomorrow on Thursday, and then go use those free bets throughout the weekend so that you can get through what will be certainly a tough one with all the family that'll be joining you for Thanksgiving. DraftKings Sportsbook also has same game parlay boosts. So go check that out at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app right now. Use promo code PFF and get $150 in free bets when you bet $5. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes, of course, for details. Symbol as well. This is like the sportsbook, stock exchange for sports teams. And with promo code PFF, FORECAST is the promo code. You'll get $500 in a risk-free deposit, and they'll match. I'm all over the place with this one, but they will match up to $500 for your first deposit, which is really cool. And you can then get a 30-day money back guarantee at Symbol, S-A-M-B-U-L-L. So go to the iOS App Store and download the app today. Last but not least, No House Advantage. Go to nohouseadvantage.com or download the app and take advantage of the fact that there is No House Advantage with promo code PFF when you sign up, and get $25 risk-free on your first deposit. All right, Tej is in the house. The Lions, your Lions, our Lions, they're playing tomorrow on Thanksgiving. Just real quick before we get into it, how are you feeling? They're a big underdog. They've got a lot of injuries. You were confident last week. I'm scared. I'm worried for you that your confidence is continuing.
I think it shows a lot of resilience on my part that my favorite loses on Thanksgiving every single year, and it's still my favorite holiday. So I'm expecting a loss tomorrow, but I'm going to enjoy, you know, the rest of Thanksgiving, all the food I'm about to eat and all that stuff.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you're going to do an ad read for Jackson Chains or anything, but really do.
Oh,
dude, the chain keeps looking strong. No, keep that thing out. It's a money making chain right there. Yeah, leave that out.
You know what that is? So we haven't talked about this, but we need some sort of paraphernalia to go along with when the lock of the week hits. And I think it's just got to be Tej wearing his chain. That's the lock of the week chain. And our lock of the week, we got it. It wasn't even close when it came down to it. Our last leg was the Niners on that teaser. And they, of course, needed no help in covering that one. So we got back on the wagon. We were, of course, doing a bunch of like multiple locks. We're back to one last week and got the W. Let's get to it this week. Got just about 10 minutes here, kind of a speed round. Tej, we'll start with you. What's the first one you like?
All right. You talk about the Thanksgiving game. I have to go with Josh Allen over 42.5 rushing yards. You know, Josh Allen has the third most scrambles this season, you know, averaging around 4 scrambles a game. The Lions have given up the second most yards to opposing quarterbacks on scrambles this season. Justin Fields went over his rushing prop 2 weeks ago. Daniel Jones went over his rushing prop last week. So I expect Josh Allen to do that this game against the Lions here.
Like it. I have a Josh Allen prop that I already talked about that I may bring up here again. Brad, where are you going?
Yeah, I love that one. And shout out Tej for joining us. A college kid, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It's a sacred holiday the day before. So thank you for joining. But
I mean, he can still go out.
He definitely can. It's early. Yeah, it's early.
He's
got the chain on for a reason, Brad.
Yeah, we know what's going on over there. All right, so... we talked about this on Sunday, trying to avoid a teaser as my first pick. So I'll go with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 9th in EPA per play. The Ravens are 7th, and then they're 14th in EPA per play allowed, and the Ravens are 12th. So very, very similar teams from an efficiency standpoint on both sides of the ball, yet they're 4-point home underdogs coming off a bye. The Ravens just have not been playing inspiring football lately. You know, so I don't think they're 5.5 or 6, however you want to treat home field advantage, you know, underdogs to this Ravens team on a neutral field. I like some of the matchups with Mark Andrews. The Jaguars invested more money than anyone should in off-ball linebackers, but I guess it could matter here. Andre Sisco's playing some good ball at safety. So, yeah, Jaguars +4.
I like it. By the way, Lamar Jackson, I don't know if you have any insight here, but he did not practice today with a hip injury. I'm assuming that's just maintenance.
Probably just maintenance. He also has like the worst immune system on the planet. The guy's always missing practice with illness. Then yeah. He plays though, so it doesn't really seem to matter.
Yeah, he's always sick. Okay, but I too am going to avoid a teaser with my first one. And this one, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous about it. But this is the Commanders at home. They're a 4.5-point favorite. They're playing the Atlanta Falcons. And maybe it's just like, I can't stop with the Falcons, but, +4.5 here now, Kyle Pitts on IR, but they don't like to throw the ball to Kyle Pitts anyways. So, I don't really know what the big deal is, here. The only thing I'm a little nervous about is that of course the Falcons can't cover anybody, but I think this really should be about a 3-point spread instead of 4.5. So that's my first one. Tej, we're back around the horn. Where are you going next?
Yeah, love both of those bets, guys. I'm going to go with Seattle -3.5 against the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, I think the Raiders, other than Max Crosby, basically have the worst defense in the league right now, or close to it. And so, you know, I do like the advantage there. And then I just think, like, you know, kind of all the things surrounding the Raiders with the turmoil that's happening, you know, where they're not able to fire their head coach because of all that stuff. And then more of like the consistency with the Seahawks, where they've done this, you know, basically every year, like Pete Carroll knows what he's doing. I like Seattle, you know, to win this game, I think, pretty easily.
I get that one for sure.
Our Hawks. So we bet on the Hawks a lot.
I almost got scared off this one because it did move off a key number, but I'm going to stick by it. I think the Buccaneers -3.5 is probably still too short. There is some rain expected in Cleveland, but not super windy and not super cold. So really just the rain. Yeah, it could help Nick Chubb and this you know, rushing attack. And the Buccaneers run defense, which normally is one of the best in the NFL, hasn't been quite as good this year, but they're coming off a bye. They're going to get their things right. This Browns defense is, I mean, just as bad as it gets. You can attack the middle of the field against them with ease, which Tom Brady, we talked about some quarterbacks that are avoiding it this year. Tom Brady has not. He loves finding Chris Godwin in the seam. Cade Otton's become like a guy he throws to in the seam. They're actually going to play Rashad White over Leonard Fournette, which is a benefit, kind of like a Pollard-Zeke Elliott situation. So I'm sticking with it. So Buccaneers -3.5 on the road against the Browns.
Like it. I'm going to my first prop. This is Josh Allen. I talked about this one. Josh Allen over 2.5 passing touchdowns, like +150, +145 right now. The Detroit Lions are without Okuda. They also have a terrible defense regardless. And this is in a dome. All the narrative, Josh Allen was the MVP favorite. He's no longer there. I think there's just a nice opportunity for Josh Allen to bounce back. So over 2.5 passing touchdowns is my second bet. Tej, you're up next.
Yeah, I guess we're all in on Josh Allen tomorrow.
Yeah.
my other spread bet that I really liked was Tennessee +1.5. You know, Brad, you mentioned this on the Sunday show. It's, you know, if Vrabel were to get, you know, his guys ready to play against a team that beat them in the playoffs last year, I think he can motivate his players more than almost anyone. Tennessee's defense is really, really good. You know, they're the best defense against the run this year, and they're top 10 at defending the pass. And I know Ja'Marr Chase is coming back for the Bengals, but I still think that they're a very gritty team, and they kind of can play like the tough-nosed football that like the Bengals really don't like to see. So I think they can take advantage of that in this game and do just enough on offense to come out with at least covering, but maybe even the win.
Yep, I like that one. So they're actually +2.5 now on BetMGM. And just real quick, some interesting line movement. Literally, since we talked this morning, that is one of them. I mentioned the Buccaneers. The Bears, after Zach Wilson got ruled out, went from +4.5 to +6. Yes, there was some news on Justin Fields, but I'm going to choose to believe that the Vegas thinks Mike White is 1.5 points better than Zach Wilson, which might be true. Anyway, I'll go to my first teaser of the week now. Yes. So it is – go ahead, George.
I was just going to say, yes, I'm excited for the teasers.
There we go. So I like the Patriots in this matchup a lot. I think Darisaw injury is just, it's just massive. And so it's going to be ugly. The Patriots can't score either, but I think it's going to be a low scoring game. The total's 42.5. And I mentioned to Jude, I like the under in this game already. You know, and I just think 8.5 for that is too many points. I think they're going to run the ball a lot with Dalvin Cook because that is kind of the one way you can beat New England this year. So them up to 8.5. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers. Our Pittsburgh Steelers also up to 8.5. The Colts offensive line is still awful. And so I think T.J. Watt has been T.J. Watt pretty much since he got back. Him and Cam Hayward, I think, are going to wreak havoc. This, you know, the Colts cannot score. Even with Matt Ryan back in the fold, they can't score. They might win this game, but I also just don't see them covering 8.5 points.
So I like that Steelers leg, and I was going to offer I'll offer a third leg here, which is Titans out to 8.5 at home. This may actually be my favorite of the three that you just mentioned, which I think are the best candidates for a tease. There really isn't a favorite unless you want to take the Eagles from 6.5 to half, but I really don't like that one. So I think you're going all sort of underdogs here, and Titans out to 8.5 against a Bengals team that, look, Jamar Chase is coming back, but it's not like he's been, you know, sprinting in his rehab here. And the Titans have this dominant interior defensive line. They sacked Joe Burrow 9 times despite losing in the playoffs last year. So I like the Titans as a leg with either the Patriots out to 8.5 or the Steelers out to 8.5. Tage, you got any more for us?
Yeah, those are all the ones I had. I do like any of those teaser legs, though.
So where are you at? Where's your head at, Tage, in terms of a lock or locks of the week?
I think I would go with, if I had to pick Brad's, or sorry, yours, George's Titans, you know, teaser at 8.5 there. And then the Steelers teaser as well, I think could be the teaser duo that we put together.
Okay. Brad, what about you?
I agree. I took those two on Sunday. So I'll stick with it. I think it's my favorite bet of the week.
Sorry. So you are Titans and Steelers?
Titans and Steelers from Sunday. Yep.
Okay. Yep. I like that. So let's lock it in. Titans and Steelers. Do we want to get a little crazier? I think we need a Thanksgiving Day lock.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I think Josh Allen, 2.5 touchdown passes is just,
should we ride with Josh?
I think we have to, right?
Okay, let's ride with Josh. So we've got two locks of the week this week. We have Josh Allen over 2.5 passing touchdowns and a teaser for the second week in a row. Titans out to 8.5. Jinx it here. Titans out to 8.5 plus 8.5 at home with, on Monday night, we're covering all 3 days of American football. The Pittsburgh Steelers out to 8.5 as well. If I could tease the U.S. men's national team, I would as well. Tej, do you have any sort of angle or model that you're using to bet the World Cup, or is it all vibes like Brad and I?
There's a guy on Twitter, Luke Benz, who does really cool stuff. Yeah, he's a PhD student at Harvard. So I have looked at a couple of his things, but I don't really understand what's happening when I watch soccer. You know, when the time goes up instead of down and you don't know exactly when the game is going to end, it's too much for me to follow along. I like the structure of football a lot better.
Conversation I'm going to have with my grandma tomorrow is exactly what you just, I don't get why it's going up instead of down. I don't know either, grandma.
If only for some people that was how FTX was working for them. Anyways, Tej, we hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and even more importantly, a wonderful Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. That's really, really what matters for you. Thanks for hanging out with us. You can follow him. Tej, what is it again? At Tej F Football Analytics or something crazy like that on Twitter. What is it?
Yeah, at Tej FB Analytics.
Oh my goodness. Get a real handle so I can actually say it. But tons of great stuff from Tej, both on social media and on the PFF app and pff.com. He's truly one of the best follows and people to listen to about football. And you can also listen to he and Arjun Take the Points. I don't mention this enough. Their podcast, which is phenomenal and does some cool stuff on social with some spaces and stuff like that. So go check them out. Tej, thank you, brother. Brad, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And to everyone out there on the printing press, make sure you guys print a little bit this weekend. We love you all. See you on Sunday night.